Alleluia! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia!
What familiar words those are. We declared them over and over last Sunday. I lost count of the number of times we said Alleluia in the service, in the liturgy and the hymns. But after the long drought through Lent, we certainly made up for it. For us, Christ is risen is taken as granted. We know the story. We study it as children. We retell it to our own children. We remember on Good Friday, but safely, in the knowledge that Easter Day is soon coming. We live in a post-resurrection age. But for the people of Israel, hearing Peter speak, things were very different. For our reading today, we're following lectionary, and we heard from the second chapter of Acts. Now, the book of Acts is generally believed written by the same author as the book of Luke. Possibly originally it was all one book. It's addressed to Theophilus and seems to be an update on what's been happening since the end of the book of Luke, which concluded with Jesus ascending 40 days after his resurrection. Now, we don't know too much about Theophilus. He might have been a patron of Luke, perhaps an acquaintance. Some have even suggested he might have been Luke's lawyer, as some of the terms used are quite legal in their nature. We do know that Luke was written in Koine Greek, and the name in Greek means friend of God, so we conclude at least that he has been supportive in some way of the writer. So, within Acts, our reading comes in chapter 2, immediately after the startling events of Pentecost. We're going to hear that reading later in the year. In lectionary, they put this reading at the end of Easter, so we move seamlessly into the Pentecost season. It's designed that way to show that the events of Easter and the coming of the Holy Spirit are one event. Anyway, back to our reading today. Imagine the scene. People had heard the commotion, heard the sound of a violent, rushing wind coming from heaven. They had come running, scared, confused, desperate to see what was going on. When they arrived, they witnessed a truly bizarre event, with each person speaking in a different tongue. They were perplexed. Some were amazed, others sceptical, asking, "Are they drunk?" "What does it mean?" they asked, bewildered, confused. Imagine the chaos. Imagine the crowds pushing and pulling, shouting at each other, demanding to know what was going on. But then, out of the chaos and confusion, one man stands up and starts to speak. And what they are about to hear is truly shocking. Christ is risen. This was totally unexpected and not what the crowd wanted or expected to hear. For the Jews of the day, death on a cross was the harshest form of punishment, reserved only for the very worst type of criminal. We celebrate the cross today as a victory. I wear a cross around my neck, and I'm sure many of you do too. But in first century Jerusalem, the cross was seen as the ultimate disgrace for a man. The Torah clearly tells them in Deuteronomy that a man hanged on a tree is cursed by God. So it's hard to imagine how the crowds felt about Jesus at this time. He went against everything they stood for. His claim to be the Son of God was seen as blasphemy. He was dangerous, an enemy that would be put to death. And yet now they're witnessing extraordinary events. The crowd must surely have heard the rumours that Jesus had been seen alive by many witnesses. And now they have witnessed for themselves the bizarre outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so it's out of this confusion, Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, stands up and begins to speak. This is the very first proclamation of the gospel that we find in Acts. It's the first time the good news has been proclaimed and the crowds listen, entranced. Peter's sermon is profound. It explains the events the crowds have just witnessed to try and put some sense into what they're seeing and experiencing. It's also significant as it's the first time they hear Peter explaining that it was Jesus' dying, rising, and ascending that resulted in the sending of the Holy Spirit. This was all God's plan, and through them, God had now established Jesus as Lord and Messiah. It's not an easy explanation to accept. The same people hearing Peter's message were perhaps the same ones that called for his death. And here he is telling them that Jesus was sent by God. But Peter doesn't just tell the crowd. He's shrewd enough to realise that even with the signs and the wonders that they've seen, they are sceptical. They're likely not to believe him. So he carefully crafts his reply. Sermons are hard to write. You can trust me on this one. And yet, here is Peter standing up and giving the very first sermon ever, outlining in plain language who Jesus is. No preparation, no big theological textbooks, no internet for research. So what does he do? He refers to the very thing the Jewish people know to be true, the Torah. He shows them by referring to the Psalms that Jesus, the Messiah, was foretold by David. He repeats the Psalm to the crowd, acknowledges it was written by David, and interprets the words for them. He tells them it foretells the coming of Jesus. This is all part of God's big plan. It's not all gone wrong. It's exactly how it was supposed to be. Peter clearly shows the crowd that in God, his work is always certain. His character is utterly reliable. And his methods are effective. But why was Jesus raised? What was the point? Peter points out that Jesus was no ordinary man. Look at the signs and miracles, he tells them. These are proof he was sent by God. But even then you didn't believe him. Look, he said, Jesus is coming to fulfill the prophecies of the Torah. He is the one David is talking about in Psalm 16. David can't have been speaking about himself, because David's body has gone to the grave. So therefore, this must be prophecy about Jesus. Can you imagine how the crowds reacted upon hearing this for the first time? It's a remarkable thing to claim. I wonder if you remember how you reacted when you first became a Christian. Perhaps for some of you it was some time ago. Do you remember what convicted you? Do you remember how you felt? What difference it made in your life? For the crowd, that crazy day of Pentecost, this was the shocking message that Peter delivered. And it's still the message that's being delivered to us today. Christ is risen. It's the message of Easter. I read a story the other day. A man and his son were on a car journey, and a bee flew into the window and started buzzing around. Now, the little boy was terrified of bees. He was scared of the sting. He knew it was going to hurt, and he started screaming hysterically. His father quickly trapped the bee and removed the sting from its tail. "It's all right," he told his son. "The sting has gone. It can't hurt you anymore." And this is the message of Easter for us. Jesus has taken the sting of death away. It can't touch us anymore. We can live freely. A well-known saying attributed to Benjamin Franklin says there's nothing in life certain except death and taxes. Well, we may be stuck with the taxes, but the statement is not entirely correct. For us, as Christians today, we live in the knowledge that someone did beat death. Jesus rolled back the stone of the tomb and flung it away. A As Peter proclaimed, death could not hold him. His love for us is more powerful even than the grave. And he promises us that through him we will all have eternal life. Christ is risen and nothing can hold him in. Many have tried over the years. The Romans crucified him, and yet he rose from the grave. Today there are over 2 billion Christians in the world. God is reliable. The communists in China tried to outlaw him. It's now one of the fastest growing Christian populations in the world. God is effective. The atheists declare Christ is dead, and yet we witness people experience Christ powerfully in their lives every day. IS tried to bomb, kill, and wipe out his name. Yet they have not, and they will not succeed. God is certain. God is more powerful than any of them. We don't need to be afraid. No mere scheme of man can ever hold God in. God is certain. God is reliable. And God is effective. And the remarkable thing is this. Through the blood he shed for us, we too are part of the Easter story. We too are set free. Our sins are forgiven. The slate is wiped clean. Our past sins have no hold over us. Jesus has secured that right for us. The only meaning they have is what we choose to give them. Those things we said, that deed we didn't do, the person we hurt, we are forgiven. That is truly humbling. As I said at the beginning, we live in a post-resurrection time. Christ is risen. In the words of one of my favourite songs, our chains are broken and we are set free. Jesus' death has paid the price for our freedom. The good news is we don't need to fear. Death has no dominion over Jesus, and through him it has no hold over us. Jesus has already won us the prize. We have it in our hands. Yet, it's up to us how we choose to live our lives today with that knowledge. However we are feeling today, maybe it's up, maybe it's down. Maybe you're positive, maybe not. Excited by life or just totally overwhelmed and fearful. Christ is risen so we can have life today. I hope you get the chance this week to reflect and remember the words, Christ is risen. And ponder all that truly means for you and the choices you make here and now. It's not Christ was risen. It's not Christ will rise. It is he is risen today for you, for me, and for all the world. Amen.